We want to reconvene the April 16, 2013 session of the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. We are back in session. Good evening to all. First on our agenda this evening is a public hearing on House Bill 2745. I'm going to open that public hearing on House Bill 2745.
Not a doubt.
And Beth, would you tell us a little bit about that bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2745 would allow an action to enjoin or restrain a nuisance if a place is used for specified activities involving animals. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
Okay. And let's see, I'm going to call up Scott Heiser, Sharon Harmon, and Glenn Cole, please. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Chair Witt, members of the committee, good evening. My name is Scott Heiser. I am the former district attorney of Benton County down in Corvallis. I currently work for a nonprofit called the Animal Legal Defense Fund. I've been a prosecutor for over 17 years, and my job with ALDF now is to supply law enforcement and prosecutors with prosecutorial assistance in animal cruelty cases, both here in Oregon and around the country. I want to thank both Representative Gelser and Mr. Chair for co-sponsoring House Bill 2745. It's an important piece of legislation, and we're hopeful and optimistic that this will become law here in Oregon. Currently in Oregon, under ORS 105-550, citizens of this state have the authority, the statutory authority, to sue in their private capacity in civil court to stop ongoing criminal conduct, to abate it as a nuisance. The category of crimes that are eligible for that remedy are very limited. It includes prostitution, drug-related activity, and illegal gambling. That's it. What House Bill 2745 would do is simply expand the class of crimes that a private citizen could sue to stop to include common activities associated with animal cruelty. That's animal abuse, animal neglect, animal fighting, sexual contact with animals, and some related crimes affiliated with the cruelty code that's codified in Chapter 167. This remedy, this private right of action to abate an ongoing nuisance that's predicated on criminal conduct has been in the code and on the books here in Oregon for decades. It has passed constitutional muster with the Court of Appeals. The citation to the case that addresses that issue is in the materials that I supplied to the committee a moment ago. Other states that have codified this statute include North Carolina, or rather, other states that have codified a version of this statute include North Carolina, Florida, South Carolina, Louisiana, Ohio, Arizona. This bill does nothing to expand the reach of the criminal code. It does nothing to erode the exemptions that exist in the cruelty code to address agricultural practices, predation control, or any of those other issues that can sometimes be hotly contested when you're talking about animal issues. It does nothing to undermine any of those protections that already exist. Further, as you probably know, Oregon is a right-to-farm state. We have a specific statute that says farmers are exempt from nuisance and trespass claims, and this bill does nothing to erode those protections as well. This is simply intended to allow citizens to sue to stop ongoing animal cruelty as a nuisance in Oregon. And the reason we need that remedy, as a former prosecutor, as somebody who works in law enforcement in Oregon and around the country, is I have watched with amazement and great sadness the budget cuts that have been visited upon prosecutors' offices and law enforcement agencies around the state. It's nothing short of embarrassing, especially in the timber counties. And they simply can't, law enforcement simply can't get to these cases in a timely fashion. When they do, oftentimes the evidence that gives them probable cause to apply for the search warrant has become stale, and they can't get the warrant. So the animals continue to languish. We get around some of those issues by applying the civil code, devoid of any of the concerns that come with a criminal penalty, and allow people to go to court and litigate this issue on the merits in civil court. There is an attorney's fees clause that already exists in Oregon law that would apply to this remedy. It's in ORS 105-560. And that attorney's fees clause provides a substantial deterrent for specious litigation. Like I said, this law has been on the books for decades already with respect to prostitution, gambling, and drug offenses. We are aware of no abuses of process that involve the application of this statute. We believe it's a good policy. It's been endorsed by the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association, the Oregon District Attorneys Association, the Oregon Animal Control Council, and the Oregon Humane Society. We're optimistic that this will... We're hopeful that this bill will pass out of this committee with a due pass recommendation to the floor, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Glenn Kolb. I'm director with the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association, and here on behalf of our organization in support of House Bill 2745. When we look at this, we consider it kind of a welfare has welfare implications, and you know, animal neglect and animal abuse have no boundaries in our state. It occurs in all regions of Oregon and affects nearly every imaginable animal, but mostly I think we're talking cats, dogs, horses, and cattle. And we talk about and consider about the cost for providing treatment to neglected and abused animals. Those costs can be significant, especially when multiple animals are involved. While veterinarians are often at the front line of treating such animals, it's common for them to not fully recover their true cost of treatment. Such veterinary cost, animal care expenses are also routinely absorbed by organizations like the Oregon Humane Society, equine rescue groups, local animal control agencies, and sheriff offices across the state. But ultimately, it's the animals, those that are neglected and abused, that really bear the most significant cost, and that's to their health and well-being. It doesn't matter if the neglect or abuse is intentional. It doesn't matter if the neglect or abuse is unintentional. The bottom line for the animals is the same. And the longer it takes for these animals to get the necessary medical care and treatment they need, the more serious their injuries and diseases become, the more imperiled they are. And so in our view, House Bill 2745 gives the state yet another option that can possibly help remediate this issue. The legislation gives authorities with judicial order the ability to intervene maybe a little bit more quickly and help remove animals that are believed to be in need of care, animals that are in harm, in essence, abate that nuisance. And for those reasons, we're supportive of this bill and encourage your support, too.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Appreciate your testimony. Committee members, questions or comments? Representative Krieger.
Mr. Chair, we went through the dog fighting bill in judiciary 2 years ago or 4 years ago. And then we had the same thing on the cockfighting bill, increased the penalties and made activity of being there, you know, a participant and all that with a higher penalty. Are you aware if any of that has resulted in people being cited by any of the DAs in the last 2 to 4 years?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger, yes, I am aware of a number of animal fighting cases that have been prosecuted in Oregon over the last couple of years. In fact, back in my home jurisdiction, I believe it was 2.5 years ago, Benton County had a cockfighting case that they prosecuted. Animal fighting is very much a reality in Oregon, if that's the tenor of your question.
Well, first of all, I don't know anybody, I doubt there's anybody up here, but if you talk about dog fighting, cockfighting, and I don't like the idea of the Mexican type bullfights either. I think it's inhumane, isn't necessary. I have some concern with where this could lead to. I notice on the second page, line 17, exchanging for commerce raw fur of a domestic cat. How do you tell the difference between a domestic cat and a feral cat?
Mr. Chair, very good question, Representative Krieger. I can't answer that specific question, and That's a statute that's been on the books in Oregon. What legislative council did is just simply incorporate all of the existing animal cruelty laws that are currently codified in Chapter 167, and that's one of them. To distinguish between, through genetic testing, a feral cat from a domestic cat, I don't believe that can be done. I'm looking at Glenn from the vets, and he's shaking his head no.
So a domestic cat that has gone wild becomes feral or whatever, and is living off the land, which is rabbits, mice, maybe in the spring, lots of different types of birds, quail, grouse, whatever it might be. I know there's a name for it. I can't remember what it is because there are places where they actually trap cats for their fur. I can't remember what they call that type of a pelt. They don't call it a cat. It's called something else. I'm not advocating it, but I'm just saying that I don't know in Oregon. Stan, do you know anything on that? Yeah. Okay. The other thing I noticed is you're making it illegal to possess certain paraphernalia, where historically it's been using paraphernalia, specifically the cockfighting bill. We had a gentleman that had a little kit that he opened up that belonged to his great-great-grandfather. It was 100 and some years old. It had the little hoods and the bells and the whistles, and they were all in there. And he was concerned that, you know, he wouldn't think of doing it, but simply possessing it, he didn't want that to be a crime, so we changed that statute so it didn't include that type of activity. Here it's included, but you'd have to show that with the intent that the gaffer slasher be used in cockfighting. How would you show that intent?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger, I remind you that the substantive statutes that define animal fighting in Oregon require, when you're talking about possession, purchasing, or trading in paraphernalia used to facilitate an animal fight, requires proof of intent to use that paraphernalia for the illegal purpose. That language is echoed in this bill, so it's not, I don't read this bill to create any new exposure or liability for the gentleman you referenced. But as a prosecutor, how I prove intent typically comes from proof through electronic means, their emails, their listservs, their Facebook accounts. People are surprisingly brazen about their willingness to share with their friends on Facebook and other venues their interests or their outside activities beyond the workplace. And so oftentimes you can find either direct or circumstantial evidence of an intent to engage in this case, cockfighting. And you can use that to argue to the jury, well, they must have intended to use these items in an illegal enterprise.
Now, you had indicated that previous to this bill, there were three places where, in law, where it was, can you repeat them again, that had to do with their crime already, a nuisance?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger, in ORS 105.555, currently actionable for nuisance abatements. The current classifications of conduct relate to prostitution, illegal activity in drugs, be it manufacture, delivery, or possession of commercial quantities of controlled substances, uncleaned up drug houses, which I include as the drugs. So you've got sex, drugs, and illegal gambling, basically. Vice crimes for it.
Now, this would add these animal statutes that an individual could start a action against an individual. Now, how does he do that? Through the DA's office?
Chair, Representative Krieger, no. These are causes of action that can be filed by a citizen of the county or a person that's doing business in that jurisdiction on their own accord as the named party plaintiff, against the defendant, illegal doer of deeds, if you will, the person that's believed to be engaged in criminal activity. They're the named defendant. So it's a piece of private litigation. And what we've seen happen in other states that have a law that's similar to this is once a civil case gets filed, typically that discovery process gets complete and then law enforcement becomes aware of the case and they come in on the back end of that and sometimes typically charge the offenders criminally as well. But it starts off initially exclusively as a civil case between two private litigants.
Just a little follow-up. If they start this and make a filing and the thing moves forward, then come to find out that the charges aren't valid, is that person who started that then liable?
Co-chair, Representative Krieger, the answer to that is they are liable for attorney's fees, for sure. That's codified. If they are not the prevailing party, if they file a specious lawsuit and they lose, they will pay the other side's attorney's fees at a minimum.
Defamation of character and you're harmed your reputation?
That's a tougher question to answer. I don't know that defamation reaches to allegations made, and it depends on if there's a bad faith, if you can show a bad faith intent to, or no basis to file the case at all in violation of the rules of professional conduct for attorneys. There may be some exposure, but I'm getting out of my area of expertise. I can't answer questions very well on defamation issues. Sorry about that.
Go ahead, sir.
Any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thank you.
Ready to start work sessions. Is he just out in the hall?
I think so. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on 2745. Open up a work session on House Bill 2615. And when we get our administrator back, we'll run that by us so we can know what it is.
Mushrooms.
Fungi. I wish they'd call it.
I bought this.
I wish they'd call it truffly something other than
this
fungi.
Among us, yeah.
Doesn't sound very appealing to me.
We're talking
about
really good.
Fungi.
This is a.
Opened up the universal work session on 2615.
Okay. Beth, have you described 2615?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 2615 is the bill you heard this morning on special forest products. There is a -2 amendment that was discussed this morning. There's been a minimal fiscal impact statement issued and minimal revenue impact statement.
Okay, thank you very much. Folks, first of all, I will recognize Vice Chair McEwen, please.
Chair Witt, I move to adopt the -2 amendment dated April 12, 2013.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McEwen moves to adopt the -2 amendment dated April 12, 2013 to House Bill 2615. Have folks had an opportunity to review that -2 amendment and ready to move forward? Okay. With that, discussion on her motion. I'm not seeing any. Is there any objection to the motion? Again, seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. Vice Chair McEwen again, please.
Chair Witt, I move House Bill 2615 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McEwen moves House Bill 2615 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on that motion. Seeing none. Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Klamath.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Whitson.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Vice Chair McEwen.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes. Representative Clem, since this was your bill that morphed.
One of my carcasses.
Your carcass bill. Would this be something that you would be interested in carrying?
Oh, jeez.
I'll carry it.
Okay. Vice Chair.
Or someone else.
Representative Unger is a volunteer.
Sure.
And
it's one I have to have some difficult conversations back.
Okay, I understand. So. Representative Unger.
I don't think I've violated any laws around this particular issue, right. So I'm more comfortable and confident that I can carry it.
That's good.
It's not about truffles. It turns out it's an existing law. I may or may not have some discussions to talk about.
All right. Free chocolate-covered truffles for the committee afterwards. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2615. And folks, if you just hold tight here for a moment.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, see, we have Morales. We have lots.
Next, I'm going to open.
Nothing better than a baby.
Let's see here. First of all, I'm going to announce that I am going to carry over House Bill 2745 to Thursday, April 18th. I'm also going to carry over House Bill 2841 to Thursday, April 18th. If I'm going too fast, folks, slow me up. I'm going to carry over House Bill 3408 to Thursday, April 18th. I'm going to carry over House Bill 3452 to Thursday, April 18th. And that brings us to House Bill 2032. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2032. Beth, when you're ready.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2032 is the bill that addresses off-site compensatory mitigation to the Oregon Removal Fill Mitigation Fund. Representative Pence discussed the Dash 8 Amendment this morning. What it would do is direct the Director of DSL to submit a detailed report to the Legislature and State Land Board not later than December 1 of each year that relates to the mitigation program. There is no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and there is approval to remove the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Very good. And with that, I am going to recognize Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Witt, I move to adopt the Dash 8 Amendment dated April 10th, 2013.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McEwen moves to adopt the Dash 8 Amendment dated April 10th, 2013 to House Bill 2032. Discussion on that motion. Folks have had an opportunity to adequately study all Dash 8 amendments, and the eighth one is the winner. Is there any discussion on this motion?
Can I pass this bill?
Yes, Representative Reardon, please.
Because I'm not an expert in this, could somebody that really understands this give me like the 2-minute summary of why Dash 8 is the winner over?
Representative Bence, where is he when you
Bill,
need him?
Bill, is that something you feel comfortable with?
Yeah, we brought it up.
Thank you for making yourself available.
Why? Because it makes some more changes.
Good evening.
Good evening, Chair Witt. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Bill Ryan. I'm the Assistant Director of the Wetlands and Waterways Conservation Division at the Department of State Lands. And so, Representative Reardon, in response to your question, the Dash 8 amendments basically leave the original text from the agency bill in place, but add a reporting requirement to report on the department's efforts to reduce the costs of compensatory mitigation and using the tools that we have available to do so, basically providing transparency to that process, and that was put in at the request of Representative Pence. The piece that was removed was a cap of a percentage of the assessed value of the impacted land that would be put in that was originally proposed as a cap, which really doesn't make sense, doesn't work, because the actual cost of property is highly variable and is actually often, usually, not a significant component of the cost of compensatory mitigation. And so Representative Bence basically agreed to remove that, and we're good with the Dash 8 amendments.
And just for the record, this is the committee's record for Dash amendments so far this session. Representative Reardon, do you have further questions?
No, it's hard to keep up with all these, so that's very helpful. Thank you.
Need a scorecard on this bill. Anyone else? I'm not seeing anyone. Bill, thank you very much. Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the adoption of the motion? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. Again, please, Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Witt, I move House Bill 2032 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McEwen moves House Bill 2032 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Discussion on her motion. Seeing none, Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Whitsett.
Excused.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Klen.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeon.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair
Witt. Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes, and the bill is sent as amended to the floor. I am going to ask Representative Bentz, I think, to carry this bill. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2032. And folks, bear with me here. I got a little bit of paperwork, a little shuffle here.
Mr. Chair, I'm glad you picked somebody else because last time you gave it to your vice chair, he couldn't even get it.
Couldn't even get it heard.
Started, and he had to send it back to committee.
Oh, man. False start.
It was a bad day.
Maybe Representative Benz is a little stronger.
Okay, and with that, I am going to open a work session on House Bill 2259. Beth, could you remind us about that one?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2259 is a bill that addresses fees charged by the Water Resources Department. There is a Dash 3 amendment in front of you. The Dash 3 would replace the original measure. It specifies the fee for a limited license for mining purposes is $250, regardless of the number of diversions. It repeals the sunset on the 09 fee levels and authorizes the Water Resources Commission to adopt rules to increase fees by the lesser of 2% per year of the percent increase in the consumer price index since the previous fee increase, and then directs the Water Resources Department to report to the 78th Legislative Assembly no later than February 1st, 2015 on those fees. There is both a fiscal and revenue light statement for the purposes of moving the bill to the Ways and Means Committee.
Very good. Thank you. And with that, I'm going to recognize again, please, Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Witt, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated April 15th, 2013.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McEwen moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated April 15th, 2013 to House Bill 2259. Discussion on her motion. Representative Krieger?
It was two, what was the percentage in the Dash 3? 2%?
It's 2% per year.
2%, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Additional questions? I'm not seeing any. Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. Again, Representative McEwen.
Chair Witt, I move House Bill 2259 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McEwen moves House Bill 2259 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion on that motion. Yes, Representative Reardon.
I'd like to thank the people from the industry and all the other constituents that really pitched in, had a good discussion on the work groups. Also thank the Water Resources Department folks for their great help. It was very obvious that the community really has a lot of respect and appreciation for the services that they provide, and they're also very eager to continue providing those services. So I hope that we can provide the proper funding for them.
Thank you very much. And I would like to recognize Representative Reardon's leadership on that work group. Extremely helpful. And Representative Reardon wrote probably the best summation that I have read this session of a work group's efforts, as well as the details that were involved and discussed in that work group. As I say, an absolutely super review. I'd also like to thank Representative Clem and the other members of this committee that were involved in those efforts. It took a long period of time to reach critical mass, but I think that folks got here feeling relatively comfortable in the process, and that was made possible, I think, because largely of that work group and everyone's efforts. So I thank everyone, the committee members, the department, and all the other folks from the various interest groups that were involved. This was a tremendous effort, and it's truly appreciated. With that, is there any further discussion? Yes, Representative Unger? No?
No.
With that, is there any objection to the motion? I'm not seeing any, so ordered. Vice Chair McEwen, please. Chair lost his position, his way here. With that, Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Whitman.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeelan.
Aye.
Chair
Whitt. Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes. That's going on now to Ways and Means. folks, I'm going to carry over. House Bill 2427 to Thursday, April 18th.
Mr. Chair, can I make sure that my poem to you is a matter of record?
We can enshrine that.
Did he do a canola poem?
Yeah. We could.
Canola in the morning, canola in the evening, canola at supper time. Be our little canola and love us all the time. Kitty, wrap your arms around canola and swear by the stars above that you'll be ours forever in that canola heaven above.
Thank you very much, Representative Krieger. The video will be going viral here momentarily.
You all are in charge.
I'm sure, Representative, in a couple hundred years, that will be worth a substantial amount of money, that original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little humor around here.
Absolutely. If we can't have fun while we're working, then there's something wrong here. All right. With that, I am going to open a work session on House Bill 2624. Beth?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2624 is the one of the Cougar bills. There's a -2 amendment that would exempt counties from the applicability of the statute that bans the use of dogs to hunt cougars if the voters in that county approve a measure that's proposed by initiative petitioners referred to them by the governing body of the county. The -2 amendment specifies that the exemption does not affect the authority of the Fish and Wildlife Commission to manage cougars in that county under any other provision of the wildlife laws and requires the county to notify the Department of Fish and Wildlife. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
Thank you very much. And members, share with the chair here just for a moment. All right. With that, I'm going to recognize Vice Chair McEwen, please.
Chair Whitt, I move to adopt the -2 amendment dated April 10th, 2013.
Thank you. Vice Chair McEwen moves to adopt the -2 amendment dated April 10th, 2013 to House Bill 2624. Have folks had an opportunity to review the -2? Representative Reardon?
Take a brief timeout.
Absolutely, we can. We will.
Procedural question.
We will stand at ease here momentarily. We are back on the record. We are in discussion for the adoption of the Dash 2 amendment to House Bill 2624. I'm going to recognize Representative Reardon.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I just had concerns about this bill. I think it's really important that we do manage the cougars and bear population properly. I feel like we passed one bill earlier, and where we WDFW can use people to manage the cougar population, and I'd like to try that out first, and then if we continue to have issues in the future, I'd be happy to take a look at it at that time. But right now, I just feel like sort of piling on, and I'll be a no on this.
Okay. Thank you very much, Representative Reardon. Further discussion on the Dash 2 amendments.
Just, Mr. Chair, this is the one that takes bears out.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm supportive of that.
Okay. Additional? With that, I am going to ask, please, will the clerk call the roll?
Representative
Whitson. Excused?
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Plem.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
No.
Vice Chair McEwen.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. The motion to adopt the Dash 2 amendment passes. Recognize Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Witt, I move House Bill 2624 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McEwen moves House Bill 2624 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on this motion, Representative Reardon.
What I said before.
Very good, sir. Thank you. There's a pro. additional discussion on the motion. I'm not seeing any. Again, Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Whitson.
Excused?
Representative Unger.
No.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
No.
Representative
McEwen. Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes. And let's see here. Who are we going to have carry this?
Representative Springer, I made a deal with her that since we didn't do her version of the bill, she should carry it. I'll just speak to it.
I think that's very gracious. And we will, Representative Reardon's going to back up. No? Okay. We'll ask Representative Springer to carry that bill, or this bill. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2624.
It's going to be fun to carry a bill with approval. Just twist it around.
Okay.
And have it you have to do that in health care all the time. We will let him.
Okay, and with that, I am going to open a work session on House Bill 3364. Beth?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3364 is the Integrated Pest Management for State Agencies bill. Rep. Kenny Guyard spoke a little bit about it this morning. There's a Dash 3 amendment that replaces the original measure. The Dash 3 makes a few changes to the Dash 2 that was heard as part of the public hearing, but relatively minor changes. There is no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact, and there is approval to remove the subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
All right. Very good. Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Whitt, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated April 10, 2013.
Vice Chair McEwen moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated April 10, 2013 to House Bill 3364. Discussion on her motion, please. Representative Krieger.
When did the Dash 3 come out?
Beth?
A week ago.
The 10th. Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger, it was April 10th.
And Mr. Chair, did the Farm Bureau and all those people weigh in?
LFS.
I'm seeing a visible affirmation of the Farm Bureau's recognition of this bill.
Either Representative Krieger's out or they agree. She looks like an umpire back there.
Or Katie Bass can carry it on the floor.
Very good. Additional discussion on the dash threes. Folks are relatively comfortable here? Okay. Is there any objection to the adoption of the dash three amendments? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. I will recognize Vice Chair McKeown once again, please.
Chair Witt, I move House Bill 3364 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Thank you very much. Representative McKeown moves House Bill 3364 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Discussion on this motion? Yes, sir. Representative Clem.
A lot of good work was done on this. We started last summer, if I remember right, with the initial concept, and I was somewhat alarmed originally, I must admit. And Senator Edwards and Representative Kenny Geyer and myself and a bunch of the folks, sort of talked about it. And the bottom line is IPM is now a pretty mainstream tool in agriculture in the private sector. This only applies to the public sector. And, for example, we do it on our orchard because it's part of our what's called GAP certification. And if you want to sell in certain places, you got to have it. It's not only for market access. You also don't want to spend as much money on spray if you don't have to. So we do use it. But the issue is, what is that definition? And the definition here comes from the weed statutes, and it's fine. We just want to make sure that over time we don't get to a place where you can't use spray when it's the most appropriate thing for that situation, and you don't want to try 20 different things meanwhile you lose your crop getting to it. And this works, and this is good, and a lot of compromising was done to get here, so I want to be supportive of that when it happens. But that's what most growers' issues are. They don't like spending the money, but sometimes you really need to save your crop, keep it healthy.
Very good. Additional comments? Discussion? Seeing none. Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Whitson.
Excused.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeown.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes and the bill is sent to the floor as amended. And without objection, I'm going to ask Representative Kenny Geyer to carry this bill.
Yeah.
Thank you, folks. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3364. And I'm going to announce that we're going to carry over House Bill 3395 to Thursday, April 18th. I'm going to carry over House Bill 3437 to Thursday, April 18th. And that brings us to House Joint Memorial 2 and Cormorants. I'm going to open a work session on House Joint Memorial 2.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HJM2 would urge the United States Secretary of the Interior to allow enhanced management of cormorants by the state of Oregon. There's no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and no amendments proposed.
Thank you very much. Hold on just for a second, folks. A few more pieces of paper to shuffle here.
Paper pusher.
Absolutely. I think this is Representative Krieger's Cormorant Pie Bill, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. I'm going to recognize Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Whit, I move HJM 2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McEwen moves House Joint Memorial 2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Discussion on her motion. Representative Krieger, he has a recipe for cormorant pie.
DeChambeau stew is what it was called. I think over the last 2 or 3 years, several of the legislators have become well aware that predation from cormorants is probably one of the limiting factors in survival. I mean, when you're talking 50% loss and we weren't paying any attention to it, yet everything that you saw today about water and all these other things to protect habitat for what? Fish. But at the same time, we weren't protecting the fish from predators. So there seems to be an awareness. I want to thank Joe Rowletter for actually finding the Nehalem study several years ago on the internet, bringing it forward so we really understood what we were dealing with. I think there is a willingness, if there was actually testimony on the bill, I believe Representative Schrader back east is interested in taking this concept and working with the feds with the issue.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Now, if we want to move forward on the cormorants, and do we have to wait on the Secretary of Interior or Congress to do anything on this? If so, we're in deep trouble. I don't know if we're going to live that long.
Yeah, Representative Krieger.
Ben will, but I mean the rest of us may not.
Oregon put in the 15th of May of last year their cormorant management proposal, which was turned down. They're working to get that updated. We're trying to find somebody to put in their budget to continue the stomach content work they're supposed to do so we can actually move down the track towards management, which 24 other states do have. It's long overdue.
Very long overdue.
Do we currently have a program set up then, or do we have to set a program up? And if so, have we allocated funds for it? Do we know?
There was nothing in their budget to carry forward the studies, which was somewhat disappointing. I've talked to the governor, also the people down in Ways and Means, and I believe we're going to try to find some money to get for the next 2 years so they can do some of the work that they need to be doing. But we have to get that done before we can actually get management from the feds.
Okay. Yeah, please.
I would suggest ODF&W look into the monies that they were going to spend for an archery range down in Jackson County, and which we have decided not to pursue because I believe that was in the tune of $137,000, and it was done with fees and grants and so on and so forth from tag fees. So I would suggest they look there.
Okay, very good. I think there's potential workforce development and employment with this bill. If we polished up some brass rings to slip over their necks, we could certainly employ a few folks down on Sand Island, Representative Krieger.
Well, the commercial fisherman.
All right, with that, is there any additional discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Whitfitt.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Vice Chair McEwen.
Aye.
Chair Whit.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes, and House Joint Memorial 2 is adopted.
This might be an opportunity to introduce cougars and bears to certain islands in the Columbia.
That would be, we could
be okay with it.
Yeah.
That's
kill a couple of birds with,
who knows what might happen.
There we go. All right. Solutions everywhere. All right. That brings us to House Joint Resolution 16. I'm going to open the work session on HJR 16.
Beth, can you tell us about this one, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HDR 16 proposes an amendment to the Oregon Constitution establishing the right to hunt, to fish, to trap, and to harvest wildlife, including the use of traditional methods under the Dash 1 Amendment. It refers the proposed amendment to the people for their approval or rejection at the next general election. There is no revenue impact and an indeterminate fiscal impact.
Thank you very much. And I would just remind the committee, because this is a resolution, that it will be necessary for us to send this to the Rules Committee. With that, I'm going to recognize Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Whitt, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated April 9th, 2013.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McEwen moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated April 9th, 2013 to House Joint Resolution 16. Discussion on her motion. I'm not seeing any. Is there any objection? Once again, none so ordered. Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Whitt, I move HJR 16 as amended to the floor with be adopted recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Thank you once again. Vice Chair McEwen moves House Joint Resolution 16 as amended to the floor with a be adopted recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules. Discussion on this motion. Yes, Representative Reardon.
I will be opposed.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Whitsett.
Excused.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Opposed.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative
Flatwood. Aye.
I haven't had my beer yet.
Representative
McEwen. Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Aye.
Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes and the bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Rules. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on House Joint Resolution 16. All right. That completes our agenda for this evening, I believe. Yes, it does. Is there anything for the good of the order? Committee members, I want to thank you very much for meeting this evening. I recognize it's an imposition to take this hour out of your evening. We tried to keep it short. I think we were relatively successful, and the fact that we did this should mean that we're going to be able to clear our calendar and get all the bills that we wish to have sent over to the Senate. Okay. And with that, if there's nothing further for the good of the order, we stand adjourned. Thank you.